Joined now by Aaron Miller, who is an author of the book Final Flight, Final Fight. And that was, 4 years ago? Something like that?
The book came out in 2019.
2019.
Yes.
All right. Time does fly.
Well, we had that pandemic thing.
So. Oh, that's true. That is true. And the book, your grandmother was one of the original WASP. And your book chronicles your fight to get her interned in Arlington National Cemetery.
That's right. It's kind of three stories in one. So I talk about the fight to get this law passed so that she could be buried at Arlington National Cemetery. I talk about my life growing up with her and what she was like and where she came from. She was from Baltimore, Maryland, and she loved Maryland. That's why I mentioned that. And then I also talk about the history of the WASP program and why it ended up that we were in that situation in the first place.
Right.
So that people can understand what we were doing.
Were you involved with the WASP organization before you started the campaign?
Not really. Right. I mean, my grandmother was a WASP. Mm-hmm. I knew what she did. I did a few things with her. I attended the dedication of the National World War II Memorial on the National Mall in Washington, D.C. with her. There were five presidents in attendance at that one, and we sat in the veterans, World War II veterans section with her. So that's why all of that later was very confusing to me. But yeah, I did a few events with her, but I wouldn't say I was involved necessarily.
Right.
She had 12 grandkids at the time, and she wanted kind of to parse it out between all of us and, you know, let us all have some fun.
Good. What led you to take on the challenge?
It honestly was just kind of the circumstances were in my favor as far as I was in Maryland at the time. I had finished law school not too long before that, so I knew how to look up rules and figure out what they were talking about. So I was close by. I just happened to be kind of in the right place at the right time, and I was happy to do it, and I was upset that it happened, and I was like, I can figure this out, right? So my mom kind of applied to have her at Arlington and said they didn't let her in, and so I went to look at the reasons that they gave us and did research into that and figured that out, and I said, you know what, they are not wrong. I don't like it, but in order to fix it, we really need to get a new law passed so that they can base it on an actual law and not just an exception, which is what they were trying to give us. And I said, I don't want her to be an exception.
Right.
She should be there on her own merit.
Yeah. And if we go back to the original story of the WASP, when the program was disbanded later in the war, basically they just turned everybody out and said, bye, see ya.
That's right. Yeah. So the program ran for about 2 years. It went through a vote in Congress in the middle of the summer of 1944. The bill to commission them into the Army to become formal pilots failed by 19 votes. They decided to cancel the program because we were becoming more successful in the war and we didn't need them as much anyway. So they canceled the program on December 20th, 1944. 38 of these women died during the program. They got no recognition. Their families got no benefits, no flag, nothing. My grandma passed a hat around with her compatriots in the program to collect money for their families. Two of her classmates died while she was there in Texas training. And then they all went home after the war. And like a lot of people during World War II, they didn't really talk about what they did. They just kind of swept it under the rug and went on with their lives and had kids and bought houses and did whatever and didn't really talk about it.
Yeah. Did your grandmother continue flying?
She did not continue flying. She had four children, and my grandfather died while they were somewhat still young. I never met him. He died before I was born. So she was a single mom with four kids in the 60s, so not too much money and time for flying, but she did always keep it close to her heart, and she was always going to air shows and things like that, and anytime she was at air shows like Oshkosh, or she came to Oshkosh and, you know, various air shows. Reading, Pennsylvania was her favorite one, all World War II.
Yeah.
They, you know, people would always give her a ride and let her fly in there, especially World War II planes, T-6s, and her favorite was a Stearman. So any Stearman, she always would love to go up in those.
Incredible. And how many of the original WASP are still with us?
I believe there are five.
Okay.
There are 1,102 who either graduated from the training program or were brought in as ferry pilots from the other program. And I believe that we have five remaining. One of them, I just mentioned, just turned 103 years old. Her name is Nell. She lives in Utah. Yeah. And so she's still quite with it and, you know, excited.
Well, I had the pleasure of interviewing your grandmother several years back, and also Nell not too long ago. I believe that was in New Orleans. And if memory serves right, New Orleans is usually warm and humid, and that day it was so cold and chilly that we did the interview. There were three wasps there inside the trailer for the sound truck because it was just nasty weather. But they were just so genuine and so nice, and that is indicative of all the World War II veterans that I've met through the years, and especially the wasps. They just were a great group. And again, from 1944 on, nothing really happened until the mid-70s. They sort of got some recognition. And then momentum started to pick up, and people started to understand the story a little more.
Right. So, like I mentioned, a lot of World War II people, after mm-hmm. the war ended, they just went home, did their thing, and didn't really talk about a lot of things. And then in the 1970s, the government was integrating women into our service right. academies, the Air Force Academy, West Point, that type of thing. And also starting formal pilot training for the military folks in the Army and the Navy. And a lot of media outlets were reporting this as the first women to fly military planes. And my grandma and her friends were like, we did that 35 years ago. Maybe we should remind them.
Yeah.
So at that point, they got together and wrote a lot of letters to find each other because they didn't have internet back then.
Mm-hmm.
And went to Congress and walked around and got a law passed that was signed in 1977 granting them veterans recognition retroactively. And there were other groups, 37 groups besides them, that were also granted this recognition to apply to the Department of Defense for a DD-214 showing they had active duty service.
Okay.
And then, yeah, after that, they would do talks and things. And like I said, my grandma would come to Oshkosh and Reading and do lectures and talks and things. And, yeah, they got more recognition and more people learned who they were, and they were very inspirational. A lot of people find the story very inspiring.
Yes.
And then in 2009, Colonel Nicole Malachowski, who you know as the first female Thunderbird pilot, mm-hmm. was working in Washington, and she worked to have the bill passed to get them the Congressional Gold Medal, which was awarded in 2010
right.
on Capitol Hill. My grandma was there with about 300 WASP and their families to get the Congressional Gold Medal, and that was another thing that helped get them more recognition mm-hmm. for what they did for our country.
Yeah, it really is an amazing story. I mean, first of all, women from all over the country, some had some flight experience already and applied for the position, but they ended up in Sweetwater, Texas, which if you've never been to Sweetwater, there's not a lot there.
It's home of the rattlesnake roundup.
Exactly, yes. And desert almost, and scrub brush and everything else, and what a, you know, what kind of a shock to show up there.
Yes. It's hot, it's windy, but they had started the program in Houston, and for
yeah.
a few reasons, one being the weather, it was
yep.
foggy and not great. They had barracks that were kind of scattered around town instead of in one place. It was better to move to a place like Sweetwater where everyone could be contained in one place and
right.
train. But yeah, my grandma said it was always very windy, very hot. They would check for rattlesnakes. They would check for rattlesnakes in their beds, in their planes,
yep.
and yeah, it
everywhere.
Was a interesting place. But if you learn to fly in all that wind there, you're probably pretty good.
That's right. Yeah, especially in a steerman
yeah.
with all the crosswinds and things there. Sweetwater is also the home of the annual reunion.
Yes.
Were you there this year?
I was there this
yeah.
year. We had it near the end of April this year, mm-hmm. and it was excellent. I did talk about my grandma and the books, and we had our first official air show this year,
uh-huh.
and our air boss was Miss Kelly Hudson,
yes.
who is helping out here at Oshkosh this year as well. And so that was really exciting, having a formal air show, because
right.
we have had fly-ins before with people bring vintage planes, and the B-29 dock came last year.
Mm-hmm.
So this year we had some great plane steermans, T-28, T-6s, and then we had the Kristen Eagles, Next Gen Eagles team
okay.
was flying. So we had a lot of stuff going on. It was good.
Very good. Aaron Miller is our guest. And Aaron, you have now fully entered the world of aviation. You've become a private pilot. You flew into Oshkosh last year, and you almost have your instrument ticket.
I'm very close, but I had to take a break to come to Oshkosh, and my CFI said, okay, that's an acceptable reason to take a break.
And was the book and everything that's gone with it, is that kind of what pushed you toward this? I mean, were you thinking about becoming a pilot before?
When I was very young, when I was a little kid, I was very interested in becoming an astronaut.
Okay.
And for whatever reason, I associated becoming a pilot with becoming an astronaut, probably because so many of them are pilots,
right?
Right? Especially back in like the Mercury days and things.
Mm-hmm.
So once I kind of didn't really want to be an astronaut anymore, I thought, oh, well, then I won't be a pilot, because they're like, in my head, they were the same thing.
Right.
And I've always been around and interested in whatever, and obviously my grandma, and I've always gone to air shows, and I live near Washington, D.C., and we always have, you know, when I was growing up, we had planes all the time over our house and everything. So I was always interested. I just didn't know what, like, my mission would be if I wasn't doing it as a job. And mm-hmm. so I finally, the last couple of years, was inspired and motivated to get my private and do my instrument. And I want to do my CFI now. So there you go.
you're fully immersed.
Yes.
It is a great story. And also, you mentioned your mom. She was also involved in Vietnam as well.
Yes. My mom was a donut dolly in Vietnam. Donut, yes. There were, I want to say, 627 of them, but the number might be quite very close to that number. And she volunteered with the United States Red Cross SRAO team, which were supposed to bring joy to the soldiers overseas who were in Vietnam. And so she served there for a year. They flew out to fire bases on helicopters with kind of board games and things, and they would talk to the soldiers who were out in these remote locations, hang out with them. And so that's what she did for a year. A few of them died over there, one of them quite in a tragic circumstance, but they are actually, there's a bill going through Congress to recognize them with the Congressional Gold Medal, same as my grandmother. Yeah. So my mom's working on that with one of the representative, Mikey Sherrill, who's a veteran herself, to get that done. So that would be pretty cool if my grandma and my mom both had a Congressional Gold Medal. So she's been working on that. Yeah.
Excellent. Well, I wish her luck with that.
Thank you.
And you with your career, congratulations. And
Thank you.
I can't wait to see what next year brings.
Thank you. I appreciate all your support and EA's support. You guys have been so nice to me and helpful. Thank you.
Not a problem at all. That's why we're here. Aaron Miller is our guest here, and I'm Steve Buss. This is EIA Radio.